Find us on the internet, radia.fm. Over and out.
This is CNN Breaking News. This is CNN Breaking News. CNN Breaking News. CNN Breaking News. CNN Breaking News. Breaking News. Breaking News. Breaking News. Breaking News. Breaking, 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 breaking news.
This is Galen Joseph Hunter. You're listening to WGXC ACRA 90.7 FM, radio for open ears.
Wave Farms WGXC always needs computer donations. If you have one you don't need and it's a Macintosh 2019 or newer, please email info@wgxc.org for more information. And thank you for your contribution.
WGXC underwriting is provided in part by The Highway Drive-In, a four-screen drive-in movie theater in Coxsackie, New York. Information and schedule at HIWAYDriveIn.com.
Wave Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous support of Marilyn Zola Coral of San Francisco, California. WGXC supporters care deeply about creative community radio. Their generosity and investment keep this unique station viable. You too can become a monthly supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and establishing a donation at the amount of your choosing. We hope you will do so. Thank you so much for your support.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Thursday, June 5th. Local early morning temperatures range from 56 degrees in Steventown to 69 in Skodak. Regional average soil temperature is 62 degrees. Air quality will be moderate. Some Canadian smoke will be wafting over our area. All counties to the south are looking at an ozone warning. Pollen levels will be high. You know, this is the sort of weather that televisions were made for. It gets pretty bad out there today. We get a high of 90 that will linger most of the afternoon. Chance of rain after 4 p.m. Overnight, temperatures dip to only 66 degrees. Tomorrow, not as hot, but definitely more rainy, and it falls all day long. We get a high of 80 at 2 p.m. Overnight, the rain continues, and we get a low of 63. Saturday, more rain all day long. We get a high of 74 at 4 p.m. Sunday, break in the rain, but only in the morning. We get a high of 76. Today's tide schedule is low tide at 5:58 a.m., high tide at 11:29 a.m., and low tide once again at 6:13 p.m. Today's river temperature will be 62 degrees, and the tide strength will be average. Sunset today will be at 8:12 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 5:17 a.m. Looking way up, we see X-class flare chances are at 10%. Plasma winds will be fast at 646 kilometers per second, with a thin density of 1 proton per cubic centimeter. Radio propagation conditions are currently a little better than solar max standard, with an S2 level noise floor. There are low chances of aurora this evening. The current sunspot number is 92. And this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
Oh, Welcome to the Thursday Afternoon Show here on WGXC Acro 90.7 FM. I am your host, Justin.
As you know, I'm Rebecca.
The other host.
I'm a co-host.
We're equal hosts.
I feel like temporary, but in a beloved and blessed way.
Well, so do I.
I guess that's really life, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah. But as long as you feel loved.
This is WGXC Acro, Catskill, Hudson, 90.7 FM, listener-supported radio for open ears.
Love it. And today we have Betsy Jacks here with us.
Hello, Betsy.
Hello. Glad to be here.
Yeah, glad to have you here.
And we were just listening to the Human Leaves, Do or Die.
That's right. Do you want to tell us why you chose that today?
I could say a lot of things about that, but for the vibe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Suffice to say.
Yeah.
Well,
let's keep it simple.
Yeah, and focused on Betsy.
Yes.
Welcome.
Thank you.
So what's going on? How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, except for the heat. But other than that, great.
Yeah, yeah.
It's going to be a scorcher.
Yeah, it was humid, too. I was like...
Yeah.
Yeah, it kind of feels
unpleasant.
Like, yeah.
But other than that, great, because I get to paint full time now, so I'm really happy.
That's a joyous thing.
Cool.
So, yeah, we're learning that you're a painter. Will you tell us a little bit about your painting practice? I'm really curious what's like kind of like the day in the life of like how you make it happen.
Oh, well, it's now a full-time thing, so it's different than it was before when I had a day job. I worked for 21 years as the director of the Thomas Cole Historic Site in Catskill. And since January 1, my day consists of driving my teenagers to school, dropping them off by 8:30, and getting to my studio by 9. And then I write morning pages. Have you guys ever heard about this book, The Artist's Way? Tells you to write morning pages. I recommend it. It's been very clarifying. And then I paint. And then I have lunch. And then I paint some more. So it's been amazing. Yeah.
Cool. And so in your painting practice, what's your modality? Are you abstract? Are you landscape? Are you Thomas Cole infused? what's the energy?
Yeah, what are the tags?
Yeah. Well, Thomas Cole has definitely taken up residence in my brain. So I'm infused with Thomas Cole. But I have been in my recent work painting trees. And so the tags are representational painting, not abstract. Although if you zoom in on anything, it becomes abstract. And I have been really looking at how trees can express emotions, societal values, lots of things that we're more receptive to when it's a tree rather than a human body.
Mm.
Is there kind of like botanical ecology? Like, are you like, this is a sycamore tree?
Well, so my work at the moment breaks up into two tree types. For some of my work, I've been extracting trees from Thomas Cole's paintings and blowing them up large and just isolating them on a white ground so that they are more like a tree portrait rather than a landscape painting. And I have a theory about his paintings that the trees are really the main characters. They're telling the narrative. They're expressing the emotion, the content of the painting. The figures, the human figures, are a smaller part. So by blowing these up, you really feel the emotion of them and the expressiveness of them that you might not if they were small in a painting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is, yeah. I love what you said about, I don't know, when certain values or you see certain things reflected in trees, we tend to view them differently as this kind of, benign beings, right, that play such a huge role in our lives and in the ecosystem.
Yes, it's true. That word benign, that's really true, that they're not threatening. Although I've been learning about some of the historical associations with forests and trees, and in some cultures it was considered a fearsome frightening place, the forest, where bad things could happen to you, and there were tree spirits that could be do bad things to you. But generally, yes, we tend to view trees very positively.
Yeah.
But also, you know, one thing about trees that are not true about people is that we think that they get more beautiful with age. And so the more wrinkled and bent and damaged and, you know, dented and all those things, you know, it just becomes cooler. And the tree just grows right around it and gets stronger. So,
yeah, there's that lovely word habit, like the habit of a plant.
Yeah.
Which I always liked.
I've been thinking about this a lot lately, especially just taking walks on the other side of the river, and just been thinking about kind of like this process of the way that a city or a landscape changes over time, but thinking about it through the lens of a tree. So like you have this kind of like baby tree growing up like 200 years ago or something, and I like thinking about the experience of all of the changes that happen surrounding that tree, like from the tree's perspective. It's like a thought experiment I've been doing a lot lately.
I love that.
Like, it's just like, it must be like, wait, what the heck's happening?
Yeah, there's a good book about that called The Overstory.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like from the perspective of trees. Going through different generations of like the same family, say, that grew up around it, and like one of the perspectives is like a chestnut, an old chestnut, which has since been extinct, and watch the different ways that different generations had relationships to it and took care of it or not.
I have that book on my bedside table.
Oh, here we go!
I am so ready to read it. I mean the. Reviews of it said it was, you know, the best book ever written, crazy things like that. So.
That's a wild thing to say. Yeah.
It's such a beautiful thing to be doing, to spend so much time with the trees like that. Do you find yourself going on a lot of walks? And do you have any favorite trees?
I do. So the second half and the more dominant half of my work is based on apple trees recently. And because I do love apple trees so much. But yes, I go on walks, but also just driving down the road, I'll just veer over if I see an old orchard that I have to photograph or have to experience. And sometimes I'll just strike up a conversation with whoever's in the orchard and ask permission. And then I find out they've just moved to the area and they always wanted to start an orchard, and just great stories. So, yeah, I am a hazard on the road in an orchard. But
do you find yourself...
Love them.
I imagine you kind of strike up a relationship with each tree that you choose.
I do. And then I study its cracks and its bend so intimately to get that represented accurately. So I have some favorites, and I've been painting them several times from different angles. And then each time I go out, I find more.
Yeah.
I now have a big stack of want to paint images.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you find some are like more open to being painted? Like, oh, yes. Get me from that angle.
Well, they definitely have personalities. That's for sure.
Yeah.
It's so beautiful. Last week, we actually got to talk with someone that we were discussing a lot about, the importance of playing music to kind of your surrounding environment and to, like, we were talking bodies of water, and it feels like really in lineage what you do, painting the trees. And I'm curious about, like, how you show the work, or, like, if you've ever shown the work in a sort of, like, experimental way, perhaps to the trees.
I haven't done that, but I have been showing the work. While I was at the Thomas Cole site, I was more private about my painting practice, but I decided to become quite public as much as possible, applying for everything. And so I had a solo show at Joust just down the street.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
In this past spring, which I loved. There, Lauren, who owns Joust, is so great to artists. I want to shout out to Lauren.
Shout out, Lauren.
Yes. So good to artists and great to work with. And so on the solstice, June 21st, Catskill, as you may know, is having a big solstice festival.
Yeah.
And I'll be doing a pop-up shop at the Stinging Nettle Apothecary on the street. So she, Pat, the owner, liked my paintings and asked, and I was thrilled to accept because I love her shop.
Wow.
Nice. It's nice to have some artwork up on that end of Main Street.
Yeah. Actually, there are quite a few galleries that just opened at that end of Main Street now.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, all the way down is 495.
Mm-hmm.
And then, what's the name of that gallery? Oh, I just spaced on it. That's on this side of the street, almost to the curve, pretty new, and they're wonderful. Ruth Ann, that's it. Ruth Ann Gallery.
Ruth Ann.
Yeah. Wonderful. Nice. Really great shows there. So
yeah, so there's some art happening in the village.
Absolutely. So. It's full of artists, and the community of artists is so supportive and wonderful. I love them.
Mm. Yeah, it seems like it's been a pretty steady, slow, kind of healthy growth in some ways. I mean, it comes with a lot of unhealthy ways, always, the growth of a town.
Sometimes it can. Catskill so far has been doing a really good job of not...
Yeah.
You know, bringing in a chain store or something. I mean, not saying it might not happen, but you know, all the shops are individually owned and loved and unique. It's a great town.
Yeah. Do you live in town, in the village here?
I don't. At the moment, I live in Chatham, which is another cute village. But I spent a lot of time here because I worked just up the hill.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, so we have... one of your paintings up on the broadcast page.
Which one
on
do you
the
have?
Website on WGXC.org. This screen
it's
is
actually right here. I've been looking at it while.
Yeah, we're like looking at your painting while.
It's nice. To
so I was wondering, like, what is your process for works like that?
So it starts with being outside and finding trees, of course. And sometimes I go out deliberately just for that purpose, and other times I just come across them. But either way, I take a lot of photographs and then collect them all back in the studio. I look through them and see which ones seem powerful in some way, try cropping them all different ways. And then I sometimes will do a sketch in my sketchbook with just a pen or pencil, again, like just seeing if it's going to be saying something that I wanted to say. And then I will often do a small version, like 8 by 10 inches or in that range. And so what I'll teach in my painting workshop, which is coming up in August, is that I believe that we need to make painting easier so that everybody can do it and not feel intimidated. Mm. And I've been doing art all my life. And so I'd like to bring some of that comfort to others. So one of the things that I do is first just trace the picture. Don't drive yourself crazy trying to get the drawing right. Just trace it. So I use carbon paper, graphite paper, and you just put it down on the canvas and draw over it, and you get your line drawing where you want it to be. Mm-hmm. I think that's the biggest hurdle, is that people don't make art because they feel like it doesn't turn out the way they envision, the way they want it to be, and they're so disappointed.
Yeah.
So much of that is just getting the lines in the right places. So that's how I start. If it's a big image, then I use a projector. And I find out the more you talk to artists, everybody's using a projector.
Yeah.
I've done paintings that are 7 feet high, and you just project it up on the wall, and I get out a paintbrush and then just start getting all the dark areas in first. And then once I've got the drawing up on either the wall, the canvas, whatever, then I lay in the color using the photograph to match the colors. And I sometimes tweak them to be more pleasing. And then sometimes I embellish the tree just a little.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of transfer from physical to digital, seems like.
Yeah, using the projector, using the iPhone. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm definitely grateful for all these tools.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah, I think about Thomas Cole's process when I was at the Thomas Cole Historic Site, and we would talk a lot about his process. And he went out into the Catskills, hiked with a pencil and paper, and that was the only way to record. So he became really good at sketching, and then he would make notes in all the margins about there's a dark green here and there's an ochre color here, and you know, you have to make notes about color.
Yeah,
it's a lot more time consuming.
Interesting. There's a whole footnote, kind of a bibliography, for each scene.
And they're actually really interesting to look at his sketches, because sometimes he'll make notes about what he's feeling about it. You know, not just straight up color notes, but kind of more of an emotional reaction to the scene too.
Majestic.
Great. Yeah. Right. Subjective words. Yeah.
Wow.
Interesting. Yeah. We, Rebecca and I are both musicians. And Rebecca says you've been wanting to get out into visual art realm. And
well, yeah, specifically painting.
Yeah.
Cause I make other visual art, but digital. And so I'm very interested in painting.
Cool.
Well, this August 1st, 2nd, and 3rd, I'm doing a painting workshop at the Sugar Maple Center for the Arts, which is up in Maplecrest, which is near sort of halfway between Windham and Hunter, for those who don't know, the beautiful Catskill Mountain Foundation. And so, 3-day workshop.
Wow.
And I welcome beginners or people who've painted before, experts, doesn't matter. I will tailor the project to who comes, but
excellent.
Very excited about that.
Very cool. Nice. And that's in August.
Yes. And at the Sugar Maples website, there is a sign up also on my Instagram and other places, but Betsy Jacks. I've been trying to post links all over the place because I would love for people to know about it.
Yeah.
Amazing. And also, so do you have a website, your Instagram, just to tell people about so they can find your work?
Absolutely. Website is very easy. It is BetsyJacks.com. No punctuation, just Betsy Jacks.
Beautiful.
And all of my social, Instagram, et cetera, is Betsy.Jacks. So all my painting, a lot of paintings are up on those two places.
Yeah, it looks great. Everybody can go to BetsyJacks.com.
BetsyJacks.com.
Check it out. And yeah, that has your openings coming up.
And you're also a writer.
Yes.
Too, yeah.
Yes. I have written a memoir. I mostly write memoir, but I've written a book-length memoir about my time in the art world. I also worked at the Whitney Museum and art galleries in New York City. And so a lot of crazy things.
Wow. So you just kind of like do like storytelling memoir style of like the sort of stuff you had to deal with and see behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Interesting.
A lot of crazy things happen. A lot of really insane people, as well as wonderful people.
Wonderfully insane.
Insane people make great storytelling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. I want to hear a story. But we don't have to.
No, we don't have to.
We don't have to.
You can leave something for the internet.
Yeah, right?
For folks to check out.
It's amazing what you find out on someone's website.
Yeah.
I should put some more excerpts from it on my website or a blog. I've been thinking about it, like putting excerpts out there.
It's nice to do like whatever you're showing online as an artist or whatever to give that kind of background of what I'm thinking, how I'm thinking about this.
It's true. All of your life informs your work in ways you don't always realize until sometimes other people point it out to you. You know, like, for example, I've been doing ballet my whole life, and people have said, oh, your trees are totally doing ballet. Had not thought about that myself.
Wow.
Yeah. A friend, Tog, who has acupuncture and qigong shop, Yad Wellness over here on Main Street, he had a great quote from his qigong teacher who said, you do everything the same way. Which I thought was really interesting.
Huh.
It's like the way I clean my... I mean, some people are like, no, I don't clean my kitchen the way I make music, but it's...
Oh,
if
that's
you really
so
start paying attention, I see a lot of truth in there.
Oh, I'm going to pay attention to that now.
That makes a lot of sense. I just think that also inside of that is like kind of the emotion that you're in or like the emotional current that you're on.
Totally.
So like when you're really frenzied versus like when you're actually feeling a sense of like calm and relaxed. Or all of the many emotions, you're feeling heartbroken, or, you know,
and yeah. how that also affects. So it's like mm-hmm. it's all the vessel of you, but it's also all the changes that we go through on a day-to-day basis just oh, as totally. People.
Yeah, you're never doing things the same way yeah. every day.
I was so ready to philosophize.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Philosophy battle now. Yeah.
No. Just, no. You know, we just talk. We pontificate, you know?
Yes.
Well, the way that everything gets filtered through the lens of yourself, I think that's really fascinating because, yeah. you know, just thinking about just on a surface level, I remember one time in college, one of my majors was studio art, and I was painting all the time. I'd painted since I was a little kid, and I laid out all my paints in a rainbow form on so it would be easy to mix and find them, and then I had all the tubes lined up next to it, and right so I could easily replenish each blob of paint. And another artist in the studio, I think it was a senior, and somebody who was, you know, I looked up to said, "Oh my God, I've never seen an anal artist before." And I was like, "Wow. That hurts."
Yeah. Like we all have to be a mess to make art, or
right?
Something.
Like all these yeah. stereotypes come out, right? But no, yeah. but like being organized and trying to make my life easy is yeah. one of my characteristics.
It's actually it's also like aesthetically, it must have been so beautiful with all the colors lined
it
up.
It is. It's so pleasing, right? It's yeah. like, why not make it the way that. You want it?
Yeah. Want to come paint you getting set up to paint and.
Oh, yes.
I have a circle there of mirrors.
Absolutely.
But, yeah, I also, what resonated with a previous show that we have done about music, I think it was the last show, mm-hmm. talking about the accessibility of music as well
mm-hmm.
and how people get really nervous when you put them in front of an instrument and they've convinced mm-hmm. themselves that they don't know how to play music.
Yeah.
And similar to what you were saying,
yes.
people just need to get over these hurdles of like getting over expectations or feeling this pressure to be like
good
or like good is original
yeah.
and do something that's like never been done or something.
Mm.
That's what I see like as some people's resistance to like, even if it's just a starting point to tracing is like, it's a great practice to do.
Yeah. Yeah. Just to get yourself over that first hurdle of no.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I could, you know, with music and with art and everything else, I think that there is a fear that you're not going to be original with people who are artists. But I find that with people who are not artists, they want their work to look like and sound like someone else that they like. And that's
yeah.
good. They're not yeah. trying to be original. They just want it to be
yeah.
good
lineage.
In quotes, like
mm-hmm.
something they've heard already.
Yeah.
Mm. But either way, I know it's hard to get people to just do it.
Yeah.
It's like there's really something so beautiful about just listening to kind of the eruptions of your own self and be guided by that, you know? Like the impetus to paint trees in this way
mm-hmm.
is not something that everyone's going to have. It's you that is ready to go to the side of the road and run into the orchard, you know?
Yeah.
It's like being driven by that kind of like innate curiosity
yeah.
that can, for so many of us, get lost in, you know, the sauce of life, what other people say to us, you know, all of these
yeah.
kind of things. So it's just talking to you is really, it's lovely to hear this kind of like passion and dedication for what you do.
Yeah.
And that is something that's like very inspiring.
Well, it needs to be cultivated, but I think that the thing I keep trying to come back to is to listen to what makes you blissful, what makes you excited. It's so important. And I think that we tend to discount that as
yeah.
childish or silly or like, you know, other people are going to laugh at me. There's so much of the critic that comes out ready to just annihilate any joy.
Yeah.
But that passion stems from something that literally, what is it that makes you happy?
Yeah.
And it's tune like, into that.
It's so yeah. beautiful. It's like just the spark, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We were talking about like decolonizing, like a decolonial like thought.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's really connects this specific way of thinking, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like you literally have this kind of like oppressive thinking inside of your own brain around what you're doing based on the perception of other people.
Absolutely.
Right? And so like
the more that we train ourselves to be like, no, babe, it's like, this is totally good. Like, follow that. That's beautiful, you know? The more kind of joy and expression we get in the world. So I look forward to that in the future.
Yeah.
For all of us.
Yeah, it's a deconstructing for all of us to do individually.
Exactly.
And collectively, right?
Yeah, we're all affected by this stuff.
Yeah. Well, our brains are, through evolution, trained to reject anything that they've not seen before, like that's not familiar. And so by definition, when you do something creative, it is something your brain has not seen before, and they'll say, bad, that's bad.
They will exile me.
Yes. Yeah. So your immediate judgment is like, that's bad, every time it's creative and new.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so fascinating.
It is. I've heard, like, I don't know, myths of some composer, I think it was Stravinsky, who, like, played a certain, like, dissonant chord that people just hadn't heard in person before.
Right.
And people lost it.
Like, wow.
Had visceral reactions, like, why are you doing
like
this?
Like, you can't do that.
There was, like, a riot that happened, I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, and some show tried to explain it, like, physically of, like, what was happening with the brain registering these harmonies and frequencies in the ear and couldn't place it within what it has already known.
Right.
So it's like
right.
a threat almost at that point. Mm.
You know, when I was at the Whitney Museum, we did some market research. I was in the marketing department and found that people go to museums not to discover something new, but to see something they already know. And so, for example, that's why they all go to a Monet show or a Hopper show, or, you know, they want to see something familiar that they know and they know that they love. Whereas people in the business, all the curators and the artists, they want to go see something new.
Like,
but they're the
new
exception. So, we seek out the familiar. It like gives us pleasure for some reason.
And
you
comfort.
Know?
Yeah. I think it's okay to have that balance, right? To weave in WGXC, I think WGXC as a radio station does it really well. They offer an open platform for anybody to come and offer something that's, I don't know, just them, anything from somebody playing their music that they like. Mm-hmm. And then they also have Wavefarm, the parent organization, curating radio artworks that mm-hmm. people in the community might not be as familiar with and might be something new. And so there's that mixture, that balance of providing like a base to come home to of familiar programming and connective programming to people in the community, but then also introducing, well, there's this other kind of really out there sound.
Yeah, it's like sneaking the like zucchini or vegetables into the baking, you know? It's like the vegetables have to be snuck in there.
Yeah. Right. If you see that green, push the plate away. It's not mixed in.
Yeah. No, I think that that's why I'm going to do an art workshop, is that I really would love to break down the barriers and encourage people to paint that have never, or maybe open up new ways of painting to those who have. But awesome. Yeah, and I plan to bring in Thomas Cole's poetry. Not that many people know he wrote poetry, but he wrote a lot of poetry.
That's great.
And his journals. And he was so passionate and so deep feeling about nature. So maybe we can absorb some of that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, cool. It's amazing. Like the ecology of this area, specifically just as a place where we all live, like centering that in our daily practice is just so necessary, right?
Yeah.
And so it's so beautiful to be able to do that through the mediums, through artistic mediums. And that's really exciting, you know?
Yeah, that's a
great
thing. We need
more painters.
We do. We need just more exploration of the whole, you know, human dimension.
Yes.
Well, everybody has something unique because they are unique.
Yeah.
So I like a friend used the analogy of like, well, what if the daffodils said there's no point in blooming because there are already so many yellow flowers. You know, it's like, no, we need those.
Yeah.
And so, yeah.
Yeah, we need everyone to shine in a way. I don't know.
Yes.
To bloom.
Definitely.
So.
Beautiful.
It would be
a
great
lovely
world.
Springtime.
Yeah.
On this 90-degree day.
Yeah, before it gets too hot, just, you know, go out there and bloom.
Yeah.
A little bit. And that's a great thing to offer to help people do that. So
yeah.
Do you want to? Yeah. Well, just tell us, remind us again of where to find and when those things are happening.
Okay. So first of all, I'll be doing a pop-up shop at Stinging Nettle Apothecary, or Stinging Nettle Botanics, which is on Main Street in Catskill here in the village. And that will begin on Saturday, June 21st, when the village will erupt with this street festival. So
yeah,
a fun time. Even my teenage daughters want to come. And then I will be doing a painting workshop at Sugar Maples Center for the Arts, which is part of the Catskill Mountain Foundation, August 1st, 2nd, and 3rd.
Cool. Excellent. It's a beautiful place up there.
I've never been there.
So beautiful.
Yeah.
It's like a...
In Maplecrest.
Yeah, it's like a magic hideaway.
It is. You feel very tucked in over there. So it's real cozy. All right, so I think we're going to take a little musical break.
I'm researching. I'm like, when's this program?
Oh, yeah, well, we forgot to let people know where they can find all these things before we take that musical break, or at least...
Yes.
Specifically,
we can go to BetsyJax.com.
Yes, the website's BetsyJax.com.
And then Catskill Mountain, but it's CatskillMTN.org.
/programs.
Yeah, will be the Catskill Mountain Foundation.
That's where the painting workshop will be, the sign up. Yeah, and they do, this is so cool. So if you don't live nearby, they have a 14-bedroom house up there, and you can rent a room for $100 a night.
Whoa.
Sounds really fun.
Cool.
Yeah.
Whoa.
That's the Catskill Mountain House?
It's at Sugar Maples.
It's at Sugar Maples.
So you can just, be on campus there.
Seems to also be a production of A Midsummer Night's Dream happening while you're doing your workshop.
Oh. Wow. Yeah. Come stay. Paint
and
a little.
And watch the fairies meddle with the love lives of mortals. Amazing. Oh, thank you, Betsy, for coming in and talking to us.
Thank you for having me. It's been such a pleasure.
Amazing.
Yeah, really great. And you're welcome to stay in the AC if you want to. But, everyone stay safe out there.
Oh, yeah. And if you're listening, we got 20 more minutes on air. And if you need a little AC, we're going to be here in the studio live for 20 more minutes.
Yeah, stop on in. 393 Main Street, Catskill.
All right. I'm just going to give us a little music break with a song I'm really, really into right now called No, No, Yes, Yes by Dara Dorian.
I want more. You gave me heart attack, made me lose my breath. Should we keep going? Is it no, no, no? Is it yes, 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 yes? No, 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 yes, yes, yes.
Affirmative. Justin, back on the airwaves for you.
Hey, Justin.
And Rebecca, hello again. I'm going to read a few events going on via the community calendar, which you can find on wgxc.org. But I should say it's important to give what you can these days to the station, if you can. Go a long way. So while you're there reading about events, you can pop some money in at the donate page. That would be great. But I digress. Here we have Story Walk in the Woodland at the Mountaintop Arboretum.
Woo!
Yeah, it's pretty cool. This month's story is Pete the Cat's Groovy Imagination, I believe.
Pete the Cat.
Yeah, so they put different pages of a children's book along a path over there in the Mountaintop Arboretum. That's pretty cool. So that's going on all month. You can check that out at the Mountaintop Arboretum. And then shortly here in this same space, 393
here we go.
Main Street, there's All Things Audio, a free monthly workshop series.
Woo, woo, woo.
But registration is now full.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, but just giving you a taste, there might be some open ones.
Can I say, there's so many amazing workshops and programs going on all around.
Yeah, really. This whole area.
What, can you shout out places? Can I shout them out?
Yeah.
Like the Hudson Area Library.
Spark of Hudson.
Spark of Hudson, taking an acting class there. Mm-hmm. There's so many places.
And of course,
does Create do courses?
Create, I don't know.
They could be doing courses.
They do
WGXC is doing. WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre Hudson Catskill is doing.
Everybody's always amazed how much Wave Farm does. Whenever I talk to them about it, it's true. There's left and right offerings. So All Things Audio is one of them, but registration's full. But hey, we're here to tell you that at 7 p.m. at the GE Theater at Proctor's, 432 State Street in Schenectady, there's Goodbye Horses, The Many Lives of Q Lazarus.
Oh, let's go.
That's right. Q-Fest is an intimate journey through the life of singer and LGBTQ plus icon Q Lazarus, a.k.a. Diane Lucky. So that looks pretty cool. Go check that out if you want to. No pressure if one was inclined to do so. So Mid-Hudson Library Road, Mid-Hudson Library System Road Trip begins tomorrow. So if you want to take a tour of the Mid-Hudson Library System.
Here we go. There's a road trip.
66 MHLS member libraries.
Come on. That's actually like really cool. You just get in the car and you go on a road trip to all the libraries?
Yeah, all the knowledge stations.
Sounds like something you could learn all sorts of things that day.
That's right. You'd have a hard time not learning things.
Hudson, yeah, you try not to learn.
I dare you. you have free will, so you don't have to do that. Hudson.
I mean, you can try. You are able to if you so.
Can I dare people on air?
I don't know. You're the one that should know these things.
I plead the fifth. Hudson Community Square Dance is happening tomorrow, 7 p.m. at Time and Space Limited. That's pretty cool. Movies on Main Street, Pride Month screening, Wigstock, the movie at Hudson Hall.
Hudson Hall.
Yeah, 7 p.m. tomorrow.
They do programs.
Yeah, Hudson Hall has a lot of things going on, too. Hike Catskill Mountain House to the North Mountain Trails. That's on Saturday at 9 a.m. They'll be embarking from the Catskill Mountain House, retracing the steps of some old photograph that someone found of a bunch of young people living, working, and discovering the Catskill Mountains. So they'll be hiking on the South Mountain Trails in the morning and along the North Mountain Trails in the afternoon. What else happens on Saturday? At 9:30 a.m., there's the Women's Walking Group at the Hudson Area Library. They have lots of stuff going on, I must say.
They do. It's amazing. They're doing an amazing job over there.
Mm-hmm.
They got some incredible people working there.
Yeah. Yeah, they really do. 9:30 a.m., Women's Walking Group with wellness coach Angelica Rogers. meet other like-minded ladies looking to engage in health and wellness activities and gain support in living a healthy life. Berkshire Mushroom Festival, that happens on Saturday as well.
The Wonder of Fungi.
Yeah, from foraging adventures and cultivation demonstrations to captivating discussions on psychedelic mushrooms. That's happening. You can find out more about that at berkshiremushroom.com.
You say Berkshire.
Berkshire.
Do you think that's more of like a... Did you say Shire because it's more of like a Lord of the Rings connotation? I know you are kind of like a Tolkien head.
Yeah, you just
I've heard you... Yeah.
Yeah, that for me.
I think Berkshire is kind of your will to get to the Shire.
I'm trying to inject the Shire into my reality.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Make... Get the shot, get higher in the Shire. Oh my gosh.
At the Shire, Berkshire Mushroom Festival. No.
No, but it's not what it's about. I say Berkshire.
Yeah, a lot of people say that.
Okay, I have a question, and I hope this is okay to ask, but I recently learned about the Catskill Fire Tower Challenge, and I learned about it, and then I drove, you know, out. As I do from my house, and I was behind someone. This was like the same day I learned about it. I was behind someone that had a license plate that said I did the Catskill Fire Tower Challenge. And then I was like, if you do the Fire Tower Challenge, do you get a license plate? But I can find no record of this anywhere. And I'm actually really curious, you know, if this is real, because I want to do the Fire Tower Challenge this year.
I don't know what that is, but it's on a license plate?
It was, I think.
Wow.
But I don't know. Things are, you know, sometimes something happens and you're like, oh, wait, that was a...
Yeah, hopefully it's not like an elite club.
I mean, it's... The Fire Tower Challenge, there's, I think, 6 different fire towers. 6 fire towers. And you do the challenge from January 1st, 2025 to December 31st, 2025. And basically... the locations are Overlook Mountain, Hunter Mountain, Red Hill, Balsam Lake Mountain, Tremper Mountain, and the Upper Esopus.
I see.
And so you climb all the fire towers, and it's kind of an amazing thing. You know, people are doing it all the time.
Yeah.
It's a great way to get to know, you know, these amazing, magical places in our local environment, you know?
That's what you gotta do, is challenge people to do it.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing to, you know, just get to know this ecology and to learn how to be better stewards of this beautiful earth that we're on. You know, it's kind of like number one core mission.
Yeah, right. I mean, that's kind of what we're doing here.
It's what we gotta do.
I would argue. Just weave it into your life as much as possible.
As the number one thing, you know, we gotta...
Yeah.
This is a beautiful place. So anyways,
well, speaking of,
if you know about the Fire Tower Challenge, please just let me know.
Put it on the community calendar.
And segue it up.
I'm going to segue right into the hike. Another thing I don't really know how to preserve. The Hike Preserve over there in Rensselaerville. That's a great place. Also doing lots of stuff. They have a National Trail Day volunteer trail work. Saturday, June 7th, starting at 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. an invitation as we prepare the Lower Falls Trail for their busy season. And people are invited to stay for a potluck lunch.
We love lunch.
Yeah, that's great. And get together. Be outside with people. It's like, just do it. Spring in the Orchard, Native Wildflowers, Pollinators, and Phenology happens at Martin Van Buren National Historic Site in Kinderhook.
MVB.
MVB. that happens on Saturday, June 7th, 10:15 a.m. to 2:15 p.m. Very specific.
It's pretty cool that Catskill has a solstice parade.
Yeah, should we talk about that a little bit? I mean,
we got approximately 20 seconds, 20 to 45 seconds. So yeah, let's get into it.
Yeah, there's a solstice parade. WGXC is going to be doing lots of stuff on that day.
Really?
Yeah, Saturday. June 21st, people will be playing music, DJing here in the front window and
very
out on the
cool
street. So yeah, that'll be fun. Hope to see you there.
We did forget to ask Betsy if she's going to be in our band, but don't worry, we will put the call out to Betsy.
Wait for the big reveal.
yet for our final show, whenever that might happen.
Well, that's set as June 19th.
June 19th, everybody. That's the final show, and we're going to hope to get everybody together to play some music together. Okay. And you are invited as well.
That's right.
You ever wanted to be in a band? June 19th.
Do it live on the radio.
Live on the radio. Best way to learn.
That's right, baby.
All right. Well, this has been another installation of Rebecca and Justin here from 4 to 5 p.m. on a Thursday.